The opioid epidemic in the U.S. became apparent several years ago, and public policy experts and lawmakers at the federal and state levels began taking action. In Arizona, the efforts to quell the problem were even bipartisan, as Governor Ducey signed the Arizona Opioid Epidemic Act in January of 2018. Some progress has been reported as funding was put toward fighting the epidemic and an increased number of law enforcement officers was trained in how to counter overdoses by injecting naloxone into the person who was suffering. But reporter Michelle Nelson of the Pace and Roundup looked into information provided by the Arizona Department of Health Services and learned that one county in particular, Gila, is far behind the rest of the state's counties when it comes to providing shots of naloxone. Only 41% of those experiencing overdoses had received naloxone. The next closest county is Santa Cruz at 71%, and Michelle Nelson is with me. Michelle, could the disparity be part of the numbers not being reported properly?
I don't think it's a reporting problem. These numbers so far remained unchallenged. I have heard back from my local law enforcement agencies in northern Gila County, Town of Payson Police Department and the Gila County Sheriff's Office. And I just heard back from a couple of local fire departments. They are all, well, two things are interesting. Number one, it's really hard for them to find where these numbers are. They don't know who's reported and they don't have those numbers at their fingertips and otherwise. And number two, when they go and ask, they're going and asking their troops, you know, their staff members, what do you remember? Do you remember? And what the officers are remembering is, no, we administered naloxone about what the numbers on the dashboard say.
Is it possible that there is a training issue that officers don't recognize the situations as quickly as they should? Could there be something else going on?
I am reassured that they are trained, but this is where it gets complicated and actually opens up to a larger question, which is, what is our public healthcare system doing? What is our social safety net doing? And I've been asking, you know, who trains you? Who gives you your doses of naloxone? I understand from law enforcement, it's a very expensive medication, but it's kind of like an EpiPen. And I didn't realize it was given as a nasal spray. So kind of anybody could do it. You don't have to know how to give a shot or have needle anxiety. You just spray it up the nose. And also law enforcement tells me it is instantaneous, the reaction. Now I have spoken to someone who's more on the ground. His name is Skylar Bryce, and he is trying to create kind of a central nervous system for our dispersed social safety net care system in Gila County. We have the lowest number of mental health care providers per patients. We have the more uninsured and non-insured people. And mostly these are poor rural white people. When I'm looking at the numbers between North and South Gila County, overdoses were three times in North County, which is 98% white. So the numbers are showing that it's the poor white rural areas that are having this problem. That I think that it's come on so quickly. When you look at the dashboard, you can see what drugs are people overdosing on. I mean, and they have a list of 20 drugs. By far, the one that is causing the most overdoses is fentanyl. And that just came on the scene. And you can see the data just skyrocket from 2018. We had, like in 2018, we had non-consequential numbers below 10. And by 2021, we were having 103 people per 100,000 die or have overdoses to fentanyl.
Considering the headlines, you mentioned the opioid epidemic. Does it make this circumstance even more alarming when you're looking at the numbers you are and just say, okay, you have many more resources than you had before. People have more knowledge of it. Does that make it seem even more striking that things are not being accomplished in the way they should?
Yes. And the other thing that's really striking to me is the difficulty of finding out how does this system work? You know, what do people do when someone's overdosing? What happens? And so far, what I pieced together is, you know, people are literally dying. They're dead. And so you can come right then and administer the naloxone and they literally pop up alive. But I've heard from boots on the ground people who have been there, you know, that they can be violent when they come out of their death state and come out punching, especially, I mean, if you can imagine someone in a party situation, partying with their friends, they overdose and die. And then there's a bunch of police officers surrounding them and they wake up and they're like, why are you here? What I understand from law enforcement is that they do not, you know, they're not medical professionals. They would rather the paramedics administer this, because it is a complicated, it can be complicated. It can be easy and complicated depending on the drug you're taking and how much you're overdosing. So with fentanyl, naloxone is very effective because fentanyl's half-life is not as long as naloxone's half-life. But if you're overdosing on opium or heroin or a mixture of things, you have to repeat the dosage of naloxone. That's what law enforcement has told me. They don't have like the oxygen. They don't have the blood pressure cuff. They don't have the equipment to provide the medical care they believe would be best in the situation.
Michelle, is there good collaboration or possibly better collaboration coming or that should be in effect with fire department and law enforcement?
I think collaboration is critical and it's totally lacking. I'm in the meetings with the Gila County Health Department and they're really great at getting the data and putting it into a report. But that's as far as it goes, because 5 years ago when they did what's called the community health assessment and the community health plan, these numbers were bad and now they're worse. And the health department saying, well, maybe we should have more naloxone distribution points. But everyone tells me the health department, the Gila County Health Department, does not distribute naloxone. I said, who does it? Well, there's an organization in town called Community Bridges. They're distributing it and they're doing the training. But I haven't had any response back from them. I don't know. I have to figure, you know, this story's not done. There's a lot more pieces to it. So I'm kind of following these threads. That's why I'm saying that we need a central nervous system kind of point where you have an access point that is safe, has no judgment about what's going on in that person's life, so you can figure out what's going on. I have a story about a vet who came into this warming center that we have that provides a free meal, warm meal from 4:30 to 6 every day. He came in January, got the warm meal, didn't say much, left. He came back in February and did the same thing. And then in March, he came in, and a volunteer who's a Purple Heart serviceman and a lawyer was sitting there. And so this veteran opened up to him about, I'm living in the woods because I've had a series of strokes. My family is far away and they can't support me. And so this lawyer vet volunteer quickly got him into the VA. And now he has subsidized housing and he's getting mental and physical help that he needed. But we need this safe access point that doesn't judge on whether you, whatever your problem is, if you have a mental illness, which is typically what's going on, or you have a physical illness that limits what you can do. But we have to collect the data, and we've spent 3 years with this warming center doing that. And this is our response, because this is just a volunteer effort by this couple, and they're begging and borrowing money from every agency they can. And they're doing the work of the public healthcare system, but they don't have the support. The Gila County Health Department, they're not getting in the street and they're not talking to the people. And so there's a disconnect between the data collection and what's going on and actual results.
So much more to talk about with you. Hopefully we can have you on again. Michelle Nelson, journalist for Payson Roundup. Michelle, thank you.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.